F4.
Number 4A.
All right, let me spend about an hour just to pinpoint big characteristics of the four Gospels. Only when we have some kind of perspective on all the Gospels, we can really evaluate what John's Gospel is wanting to achieve and what is the difference and what is the main point in John's Gospel, so that he's quite distinct from the other three Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew was the one who wrote really his message of the story of Jesus to the Jews. He was trying to tell the Jews that really Jesus is that Messiah which the Jewish people over the last few centuries had hoped would come. You know that in the Old Testament they always prophesied that there would be a Messiah, a Savior who would come and would save the people, would save Israel from the other foreign nations, actually at the end saving them from the Romans. And from time to time there was somebody who came up and said, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, I'm going to liberate you from the Romans. And every time it turned out that they were not really the Messiah. So one can see that it was not easy for Matthew really to convince the Jews that here Jesus is the Messiah. So he tried to show to the Jewish nation that Jesus is the Messiah, the expected Messiah. Quite different with Mark. Mark didn't write to the Jews. He was together with Peter in Rome. He could see the might of Rome, the power of Rome, the power that was invested in Caesar, in one person. And he knew about the power that was invested in Jesus as the Christ. And so he tried really to show that Jesus has come also to the Gentiles, also to the Romans. And he tried to write to the Gentiles. Therefore, his accent in the Gospel is quite different. Again, very different is Luke. Luke was a medical man, a doctor. He was traveling around with Paul. Paul was a world traveler. He was all over the place. And Luke was with him. He saw mankind. He saw the world. And so he felt that his message of Jesus as the Savior should be a message that was adapted for all mankind. And so he was writing really to the world, to all of mankind. Again, very different was John. Well, to whom could John write after we have seen that Matthew wrote to the Jews and then Mark to the Gentiles and Luke to the whole world? To whom on earth could he write to? He wrote to God. He wrote the story of God. And you see, he superseded, so to say, the limited view that the Christ has anything to do with people, with peopleianity, but that it has to do with God himself. And so he was writing the story of God, how God would manifest itself to the understanding of mankind in order to show that God has a science and was translating itself to the people as a scientific way of understanding God. So can you see already here the very great difference between the synoptics and then on the other side with the story that John was telling? Or we can look at the four different Gospels in another way. As I said, Matthew was writing to the Jews in order to show that Jesus was, so to say, the fulfillment of the Jewish history. Therefore, he wrote a story with all the genealogy of the Jews up to Joseph and to Mary, and would show that There is a one line of development that is adequate to the days of creation. So he wrote his story according to the days of creation. He showed the story of Jesus first from the point of view of mind and the subtones of mind and of spirit and the three subtones of spirit and of soul with the five subtones of soul and so on, exactly in the same layout as the days of creation that was right at the beginning of the Bible. So he wanted to show really that Jesus fulfilled the days of creation and therefore could be seen as the fulfillment of the Jewish hope. Mark had again another purpose. He wrote in the Christ order. So Matthew wrote in the world order, Mark in the Christ order. Mark was impressed by the power of Rome. He was impressed by the power of Jesus that he had over everything. So he could see that the main aspect that he was has to consider was the sense of power, the power of manifestation, the translation of the power of God right down to the human need. Therefore, the translation of immortal mind, which is written in the Christ order of divine principle, life, truth, and love, then soul, spirit, mind. So again, we have quite a different story. When one reads Mark, one is impressed by the power that is expressed over and over and over again, because he had to find a counterpoise, so to say, against the power that was invested in the Roman Empire and wanted to show that there is a bigger power at work than Caesar's power, that the Christ is bigger than Caesar, and that therefore in the Christ there would be a way of salvation. So he wrote about how God manifested itself with the omnipotence of God and the translation right down to the human need. So he was writing in the Christ order. Luke, again, who was the doctor who loved mankind, he wrote about men. And writing about men and the mankind, naturally he had the focal point on Christianity. So he wrote his message, his gospel, in the Christianity order, in order to show, really, that Jesus came to demonstrate the true nature of man. The true nature of man as individual man, as collective man, as generic man, as a compound idea of man, as womanhood, as manhood, as generic man. So that was his main aspect. And so he took the Christianity order, which has to do with man, mankind, and presented, therefore, Jesus as the one that could demonstrate true manhood and womanhood. What about John now? And we have seen that John had quite a different interest, that he was interested in the nature of God himself and was feeling that the nature of God should be understood by mankind. And so he wrote in the science order. In the science order, you know, is the candlestick order. And he wrote his message, therefore, in the candlestick order, which has seven lamps, but four stages. There's the foundation on which the candlestick was standing, and then second, those two arms, the outer arms, and then again on a higher level, the second two arms, and finally on the again a higher level, the third two arms. So indicating that the seven become now a four, that the seven are not linked together in a linear way together, but they are linked together in a structural way together. And the moment you have structure, you have the idea of the four sides of the holy city. So he presents Jesus from the standpoint of the science order. And what he wants to achieve with the science order was to show that Jesus actually presents the science of God. So that Jesus' life was showing an example of how God translates itself to humankind by bringing to mankind a way of salvation through understanding. So he shows a way of understanding. And there we get it then that this way of understanding is the one that we were considering up to now, namely that all the understanding of God starts with the 7 days of creation, then become numerals of infinity, then become the synonymous term, and after the synonymous term they become really the four-sided city, the divine infinite calculus. That's the way John presents the story of Jesus. So it's a way of understanding, so that the Christ idea interprets really science as a system. And so we see that John is the only one that does not present a linear order like we have in the world order, the Christ order, the Christianity order in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but that he presents actually a structure. He presents now the 4x4 in a structural way, the candlestick order, and refines that candlestick and refines it, but always refines, not always, at the beginning not, but afterwards when the days of creation has accepted the divine infinite calculus, that divine infinite calculus, he constantly, whatever he does, he presents it in the 4, or in the 4x4, or in the 4x4x4. He just can't get away from the calculus of the 4, of work, Christ, Christianity, and science. See, that is what I think John Dolly wanted to tell me in that letter which I read to you this morning, that he said, get away now from the days of creation and even from the synonymous term. You have been thinking along, or we all have been thinking along now over more than 10 years about the days of creation and the 7 synonymous term and the order of the world and the Christ and Christianity. Let's get on and culture our consciousness in the 4, because the 4 is the activity, the omni-action of the 7 synonymous term, so that we get a very dynamic consciousness of the 7 synonymous terms, and not just a static sense or a linear sense of the 7 synonymous term. So in John we can see that he was interested to show that Jesus was really that ideal of the Christ science, and so he wrote about that ideal as a Christ science, and he wasn't too much interested in people, but in showing that universally we would have a way of understanding. Isn't that wonderful to think that even at that time there was somebody there who could see? I am not going to show what a marvel maker. Can you say marvel maker Jesus was? What the marvel? Can you say marvel makers? Yeah, Jesus was, and the mighty works he did. That suddenly somebody came along and said, I'm going to show how everybody who is aware of it can culture his consciousness step by step in such a way that he can also understand what Jesus understood of God, the signs of God. So Jesus is seen here that he constantly built on the divine principle and constantly was deducing from the Word to the Christ, to Christianity, to science. This is a rhythm, a four-folded rhythm. It's a 1-2-3-4, a 1-2-3-4. You constantly hear a 1-2-3-4, a 1-2-3-4. It's another kind of a waltz than the Viennese waltz. Huh? But we get into that wonderful rhythm that John is showing. All right. That's what the 4 Gospel tried to show. Let's again consider those 4 Gospels, but this time just compare the synoptics as a whole body, as one block, so to say, with John as a different kind of presentation. What differentiates, I would say, the synoptics as a whole from John's Gospel? I don't want to make a very detailed exposition of that, but it is quite enough to just get the main points, because I think if we get the main points, we get slowly into the attitude that John had, so that we are afterwards reading the text with that kind of attitude and are not too much sidetracked by the other Gospels. We can say that the synoptics really relate the history of Jesus. They relate the history of Jesus, so to say, from birth to end until ascension. So it is a biography, so to say, of Jesus' life. Not so in John. John relates the history of God. He shows how the understanding of God has come into being, and therefore shows the spiritual history of God, of God's revelation of himself to mankind. This is quite a different story. Or we see in the synoptics, we constantly have a feeling that Jesus is operating, he's going around, he's healing, he's saving, he operates. And we feel, oh, Jesus the Christ, he is the one that is the master, and he can master every situation. So we feel that Jesus, with his spiritual power, is the one that operates. Not so in John. In John, you don't get that feeling so much, but you see there that Jesus is God in operation, that God operates and uses Jesus for his operation, so that Jesus is operated by God. He is not operating God. See, I hope I can express it in English terms well enough to bring out the differences. So the synoptics say that Jesus operated God or applied God. John says God applied Jesus. He used Jesus for his own operation. That's the great difference which we find here. Or the synoptics show really that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Christ. But John, though he also says that Jesus is the Christ, his accent is much more on the fact that God itself is the impulsion behind Jesus Christ's message, that it is actually God's Christ that is at work, and not Jesus Christ is at work. That God has a son, that God has sent the son. It constantly repeats that God has sent the son, that God has sent the Christ. That's an interesting point. The synoptics seem to always give the impression that the gospel writers were showing that they wrote about the spiritual idea, that they... Yeah, just about. That's perhaps the best way. They wrote about the spiritual idea. Not so John. John showed that Jesus was the spiritual idea. You see, it's such a great difference also with us. It's a difference if we talk about Christian Science or if we teach Christian Science. That's a very great difference. And if in a spiritual sense, one can feel out very quickly if somebody teaches about Christian Science or if somebody teaches Christian Science. Because if he teaches Christian Science, it's Christian Science making him teach, making him express what the science of God is. Whereas if we talk about Christian Science, then it's always the feeling that there is a teaching and a principle somewhere about which I can say something. And that comes out in John very clearly. In the synoptics, you meet Jesus mostly as the Son of Man. Whereas John presents Jesus not only as the Son of Man, but predominantly as the Son of God, which is a mighty difference. The Son of God is when the Father has a Son. Then it is the Son of God. So that's what John was teaching, that the Father has a Son, the Father has sent the Son, that the Father does the work of the Son, that that the Father works in the Son. Whereas in the Synoptics, one gets much more a sense that Jesus used the Son of God to demonstrate the Son of Man. Namely, the Son of Man is what? It's showing the healing of mortals, the freeing of mortals, the saving of mortals, that bringing to them the Son of Man. It's the application to the human. It's that which brings a better state of things into the world. That's the Son of Man. But John, as I said, he wants to show that Jesus is the Son of God. Also interesting is that the Synoptics constantly teach in parables. And they had to teach in parables. So it's a fine job they did. They had to see how can I find the symbolism with which I can put over my teaching to the people so that they could understand it. John never used that method. He never taught in parables, not once. Why did he teach in parables? He didn't teach in parables. Nor did Jesus pray. In the Synoptics, we see Jesus praying to God. In John, Jesus never prayed because he always acted with authority. He didn't need to pray. He was empowered. He was authorized by God himself. So he didn't need to pray. Can you see the difference between the Synoptics and John? The Synoptics tell a lot about Jesus' demonstrations and show that they were Jesus' demonstrations. Whereas in John, the few so-called wonders and miracles that are shown there were always God's miracles and demonstrations, not Jesus' demonstration. We have therefore in the Synoptics those many healings, numerous healings, quite a lot of healings. In John, we have only 8 so-called healings or miracles or signs. And interestingly enough, 4 of them are not in the Synoptics. Only 4 out of 8 are also in the Synoptics, but 4 of them are not in the Synoptics. And they are those big signs and wonders, like turning water into wine, the healing of the lame man, of the blind man, and the raising of Lazarus. These are the 4 that are not in the Synoptics. And we'll see that they constitute quite a different method of talking about healings. See, when the Synoptics talk about healings or write about healings, it's usually done within very short verses, perhaps just one verse, and he came and healed him or something. There are perhaps two verses or so. And the Synoptics would seldom explain how Jesus did it. The other way around is with John. John gives a short sentence how he healed it, perhaps one verse, perhaps two verses, but then perhaps a whole chapter how he did it. See, because he was not interested in the first place in the healing, but he was interested in the principle behind that healing. So he showed much more the science of healing than the demonstration itself, than the healing itself. And this is actually of great value for us, because we know that we really should have an understanding of the divine principle which is behind the healing. Again, to repeat it again, which is so important, the synoptics all show somehow Jesus' way and form of living. Here was that terrific character, Jesus, and you marveled at it, what he did, what he said, how he handled the situation. It's that terrific caliber of spiritual power. But when one goes to John, you don't get that so much. You get it also naturally, because one doesn't exclude the others. But there, much more, you begin to see that he wants to show that God is revealing himself. As what? As a scientific way of understanding divine metaphysics. That he shows the system of divine metaphysics. He shows the categories of divine metaphysics. He shows the interplay of these divine categories so that they form structures, that they form different structures according to the accent you lay on a category. Quite terrific. Actually, as I say that, it's still just a picture. It's still something that is not tangible to your spiritual consciousness, but it will be tangible until the end of this week, because we are going to see how he actually shows that way of understanding, so that we can follow really that understanding and do not need to follow a man called Jesus Christ.